Immigration and Corrections, Yusril Iza Mahendra, conveyed that the government respects the Constitutional Court or MK verdict to abolish the presidential and vice presidential nomination threshold because it is considered contrary to the 1945 Constitution. With the abolition of the threshold, every political party participating in the upcoming general elections has the right to nominate a pair of presidential and vice presidential candidates without a threshold again. He also confirmed in Jakarta on Friday that in accordance with the provisions of Article 24C of the 1945 Constitution, the Constitutional Court verdict is the first and last one which is final and binding. Minister Yusril also affirmed that all parties, including the government, are bound by the Constitutional Court verdict without being able to take any legal action. Let's come to the next news. The Indonesian Ministry of Finance is optimistic that the return of manufacturing performance to the expansionary zone will have a positive impact on economic growth in 2024, in which the target of 5% is believed to be achieved. Head of the Ministry of Finance Fiscal Policy Agency, or BKF, Febrio Kacaribu in Jakarta on Friday pointed out that Indonesia's manufacturing activity, which returned to the expansionary zone, reflected the Indonesian economy, which remained solid amid various challenges, both global and domestic. He further emphasized that the government is increasingly optimistic that economic growth of more than 5% for 2024 could be achieved. According to Febrio Kacarib, Indonesia's Purchasing Managers Index increased from 49.6 in November to 51.2 in December 2024. This figure is the highest level since May 2024. That's a newsline from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
Here is the Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, at the program of RRINet on Indonesia Today. On Saturday, 4th January 2025. Well, frankly speaking, today, still in the new year, in January 2025 is the first day for me to present or broadcast on Indonesia Today. So I'd like to say Happy New Year 2025. I hope that all kind of goodness, all kind of experiences, and even target or goals that we have already reached last year in 2024 can also give you much, I can say, optimism, new optimism, new hope for 2025. And I believe that in this new year, you have also some programs, you have also some innovation maybe, some hopes, and even with a new spirit, new innovation, new spirit, and even new friends maybe, new skills, new capabilities, that maybe you have also such a target or goals. Maybe during this year 2025, I hope that you can do your best, you can carry it out very well, and you can make it enthusiastically. Whatever it is, this must be done enthusiastically and also happily and even comfortably by yourself. Day by day, every day, and even every week, you must be able to have such better improvement of your skill, better targets, or better, I can say, better improvement or skills that you have planned before. In this case, just do what you can do, just think it before you do it, and make it as simple as possible, make it as effectively as possible, and even make it as importantly as possible that you can think. Well, with me, Ahmad Faisal, I would like to accompany you, especially for 1 hour on RRINet from 3 o'clock up to 5 o'clock p.m. local time Jakarta, and 3 o'clock up to 5 o'clock p.m. also for Indonesia Today. Well, new hope, new enthusiasm, new friends, and even new what? Maybe new skills or new sites. New what? Maybe new jobs or whatever, something new that you will face this year 2025. I hope this can make your goal come true. Well, before I give you such information or update information, now I would like to share you, I would like to accompany you with our first song. The song that we have already set is from, what's that? Yes, from Shakira Jasmine with title Just a Crush Thing. Enjoy the song.
I like the way you talk, I love the way you see me. Stop it right there, please, 'cause I'm not sure that it's special. I'm not sure.
the seashore and enjoying sunset is always the right choice when you are having holiday. You can enjoy amazing sunset at Tanjung Setia Beach in West Lampung. It takes about 8 hours from Raden Intan II Airport, Bandar Lampung, or it is located around 273 kilometers or around 6 to 8 hours trip from Bandar Lampung City. Tanjung Setia is located along the western beach near the South Bukit Barisan National Park. The waves at Tanjung Setia Beach is known as one of the best waves by surfers throughout the world, and it is similar with the famous surfing spot in the world, namely in Hawaii. Tanjung Setia Beach is sharply at the big streaming line of the Indian Ocean. Unfortunately, the beach is not quite popular yet for surfing competitions like in Bali or Lombok. There are only some surfers who know the beach that is quite interesting for surfing. During surfing session on June to August, waves at Tanjung Setia Beach can reach up to 7 meters high, stretching around 200 meters to the shore, which it makes it good for place for surfing. Some related parties do some efforts, including by organizing competitions in order to promote the beautiful scenery of the beach to both local and international visitors. In early May 2019, the beach has become a place for international surfing competitions. The competitions attracted surfers from 23 countries. All participants say that the waves at Tanjung Setia Beach is truly perfect for professional surfers. Tanjung Setia Beach has white and soft sand which stretches along the beach. There are many palm trees at Tanjung Setia seashore, which makes it more beautiful. In addition, Tanjung Setia offshore is also a fit location for fishing sport lovers to catch abundant fish. There is a giant blue martin fish which is known as Iwa Tuhuk by local people. Blue marlin can have weight up to 50 to 70 kilograms with the length spanning around 170 centimeters. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, you are still with me, Ahmad Faisal, to accompany you on Indonesia today. Still also at the program of RRNet on Indonesia today. Well, as I promised you before, I would like to share you about, you know, information here. It is about the seriousness of Indonesian government to give or to give welfare, especially for children. In this case, to give free special schools for Indonesian children living in extreme poverty. Coordinating Minister for Community Empowerment, Muhammad Iskandar, has said that President Prabowo Subianto's administration has announced plans to build free special schools for Indonesian children living in extreme poverty. Speaking to journalists after a meeting on community empowerment at Bogor Palace on Friday, the minister revealed that the concept of these schools is currently being tested in three areas within Greater Jakarta. He said, although he did not specify the exact locations, he referred to these schools as Sekolah Rakyat or People Schools, and parents of the children attending these schools will still primarily be responsible for their care. Minister Iskandar also noted that parents will be provided with an empowerment program at the schools. And when being asked if the Sekolah Rakyat would implement a boarding school concept, he said it could be so, and boarding school would ensure children's nutritional needs are adequately met, allowing them to consume nutritious foods. Well, previously, the Indonesian government recognized the importance of developing high-quality human capital to achieve the goals outlined in the Golden Indonesia 2045 vision. And then, Minister of Empower, Yasirli, recently cautioned that developing competitive human capital is a challenging task due to the increasing complexities surrounding human resources development, particularly in light of technological advancements and changes in the workforce. And therefore, he said, the government must focus on improving competency, digitalization, and adaptive resilience in facing various changes, as President Prabowo always says. Well, don't go anywhere. We still have another song that would like to accompany you. The song is from, what's that? What song, Faisal? Yes, the song is from Lenka with title Trouble is a Friend. Enjoy the song.
Oh, Today's diplomatic corner highlights, Indonesia's relation with Kazakhstan and Tajikistan continue to grow. Indonesian Ambassador to Republic of Kazakhstan and the Republic of Tajikistan, M. Fajrul Rahman, has said that Indonesia's diplomatic relation with Kazakhstan and Tajikistan continue to increase and are manifested in economic, social, political, cultural, educational, and tourism aspects. Positive realities in Indonesia bilateral relations and cooperation with the two friendly countries can be seen from the increase in reciprocal visit between high-ranking official, trade value investment, and tourist visits. The statement was made by Ambassador Fajrul in his remarks when celebrating New Year's Eve 2025 at Wisma Indonesia Astana in Kazakhstan on Tuesday. Meanwhile, the value of Indonesia's bilateral trade with Tajikistan in the same period was recorded at $1.5 million, or around 24.3 billion rupiah, an increase of more than 50% from the same period in 2023. Throughout 2024, the Indonesian Embassy in Astana also facilitated various visits and business matching meetings of Indonesian entrepreneurs with their counterparts from Kazakhstan and Tajikistan. Moreover, Ambassador Fajrul at the Trade Expo Indonesia and Indonesia South and Central Asia Business Forum in October 2024 in Jakarta conveyed that the Indonesian Embassy in Astana also facilitated the presence of 12 Kazakhstan businessmen to conduct bilateral meetings to explore cooperation with PT Pertamina. For the tourism sector, the number of visits by Kazakhstan and Tajikistan tourists to Indonesia as of October 2024 was recorded at 17,113 people, and most of them chose Bali as their destination. The number exceeded the annual target of the Indonesian Embassy in Astana, which was 12,000 people for 2024. He further pointed out that the Indonesian Embassy in Astana also continues to work to realize the opening of direct flights between Indonesia and Kazakhstan. And that's Diplomatic Corner.
Kau datang dan jantungku berdegup kencang. Kau buatku terbang melayang. Tiada ku sangka getaran ini ada saat jumpa yang pertama. Mataku tak dapat terlepas darimu. Perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be, could it be, could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be something that I never had? Could it be love? Terlepas darimu, perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be, could it be, could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be?
Here is a news flash. The Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Bahlil Lahadalia, has said that the government is preparing to implement the mandatory 50% biodiesel or B50 program in 2026 to stop diesel import. As part of the energy transition program, the government will start implementing the mandatory B40 this year while preparing for the implementation of B50 next year with the aim of reducing dependence on diesel imports. That's a news flash from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Well, finally, Mr., I would like to give you our special interview with Indonesian Minister of Culture, Fadlizon, hosted by Daulat Pane.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, viewers and listeners of Voice of Indonesia, as we know that Indonesia has an extraordinary diversity, including on its people, language and culture. And the Ministry of Culture commits to promote and also protect the Indonesian intangible cultural heritage. And here, today with me, the Indonesian Minister of Culture, Bapak Fadlizon. How are you, Bapak?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for that time. Yes. Pak Fadlizon, as we know that UNESCO has recognized many Indonesian cultures as World Heritage. Just say Kebaya, Kelintang, and also Reok Ponorogo. So how will your ministry utilize this recognition to strengthen Indonesia's cultural diplomacy?
Yes, leverage the recognition of Kebaya, Kolintang, and Reok Ponorogo to promote Indonesia's rich, diverse cultural heritage in international forums, exhibitions, and cultural festivals. Definitely that is the situation. And currently we have some programs on kebaya, such as with the kebaya communities in Brunei, Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand, and also Reok Ponorogo, Reok International Friendship in Japan, and Indonesian cultural festivals in Netherlands, Thailand, and Japan, and partner with educational institutions globally to introduce Indonesian culture into curricula, workshops, and also academic exchanges, ensuring its sustainable preservation and global appreciation. Some universities have also programs on Indonesia language and culture, such as those in Uzbekistan State World Language University, Azerbaijan University of Languages, and many universities in Australia, SWAS University in London, who has also the Indonesian language course, and many others. And also, to recognize and support the artisans and performers behind these cultural treasures, ensuring their involvement in international events and enabling them to become ambassadors of Indonesia's heritage. Our cooperation with the communities, like Kebaya communities, Kolintang communities, and also Reok Ponorogo communities, is critical to ensure our cultural diplomacy mission. So I think that is to answer your question.
So there are cooperations with the communities, Indonesian communities abroad, and also maybe the Indonesian embassies, and also other diasporas. So is there any, what steps that the Ministry of Culture take to strengthen Indonesia's culture? We focus on cultural diplomacy.
Well, of course, expanding cultural exchange programs, by facilitating artist residencies, performances, and workshops abroad to showcase Indonesian arts, music, and dance, and traditional crafts, and inviting foreign artists and cultural experts to Indonesia for collaborative projects, fostering mutual understanding, and also strengthening partnerships with international organizations such as UNESCO, ASEAN, and other cultural bodies to promote Indonesia's contribution to global heritage. And also, I think we promote Indonesia's cultural industries by supporting the export and global promotion of Indonesian films and music. And in this regard, we support the movies and music ecosystems to strive and go international. And some Indonesian movies, for example, like The Raid, which showcases Indonesia's pencak silat, which have proven that film is the right medium for cultural diplomacy. And other movie like Gundala, who play in Toronto International Film Festival, showcasing Indonesia's superheroes, is also example how Indonesian movie is amazing and respected globally. And recently, women from Rote Island, representing Indonesia in Academy Awards 2025, despite it is not shortlisted as winners, but it is a major breakthrough for Indonesian movie that we have to support. So also I think enhancing digital outreach and investing in cultural education and capacity building, engaging with Indonesian diaspora networks abroad as cultural ambassadors to promote Indonesian heritage. In this regard, we will intensify the presence of the Indonesian House, Rumah Budaya, which currently exists in Timor-Leste, as well in the Netherlands and Kazakhstan, and maybe also in some other places.
Yes, Pak Lijon. So, before you mentioned that we have some collaborations with other countries like Malaysia, Thailand, and also Brunei, Islam, and even in Uzbekistan, as you mentioned just now. So what I want to know more about the opportunities for collaboration between countries to advance our culture, I mean, Indonesian culture.
Joint cultural festivals and events which we now have with many countries, like between Indonesia and India, on the shared cultural influences, like Ramayana traditions, yeah. Cultural exchange programs, in this example, for Dharma Siswa program, sending international students to study Indonesian arts and cultures in Indonesia. Also joint preservation of shared heritage, establishing cultural hubs and centers in several countries, which serve as platforms for cultural engagement, which can be reciprocal. Some of the programs that we have, for instance, South Africa, residence program and joint network with artists in Cape Town, Kabata Tanrasula, Sheikh Yusuf. In Uzbekistan also, we have a joint theater work with cultural artists in Uzbekistan on Sukarno and Imam, and a joint exhibition in Harmony Festival in Istiklal, which is still going on until now. And I think that is some of the example that we have.
Yeah. While you are talking about the Dharma Siswa program, I remember things about the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Pak Fadlizon. And we know that the Ministry of Culture has synergized with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Indonesian Embassy in the repatriation of historical objects, like we already know from the Dutch government. And what collaboration is expected in the future with the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry on this?
So far, currently, we have returned 828 cultural heritage objects from the Netherlands, and we thank also to the Netherlands sides, to MOFA Indonesia for their support. And in the future, we seek to have more collaboration on ensuring the safe return on Indonesian cultural heritage objects from other countries also, like the United Kingdom, India for the Puchangan stone, and also Germany and some other countries. I think we would like to ask assistance for the safe return of this intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. So this act of cultural justice is not just about returning the objects themselves, but also about restoring the dignity of Indonesia's identity, traditions, and collective memory. We also intensify to increase the presence of Indonesian house abroad, atau rumah budaya, as the medium to promote Indonesian cultural and arts. And in this regard, we will intensify the presence of this house in some other places, like in New York, I hope, or Los Angeles, yeah, either one, and also in some other places, yeah.
Okay. Back to the cultural diplomacy, Pak Fadlizon. It is, I believe that this is not only the responsibility of the Ministry of Culture or the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry. So what is the involvement of local communities and also the artists in supporting our cultural diplomacy?
Well, they are, of course, our ambassadors and cultural representatives, and their active participation in preserving and passing on cultural knowledge ensures that these practices are maintained for future generation. And in the case of the inscription of Kolintang Kebaya Reog, we work intensely with the communities to bring this heritage abroad, including during the submission process. Next, we plan to submit more of Indonesian intangible cultural heritage in UNESCO's ICS list, such as tempe, tenun, golok, yeah, with single nomination, congklak, sarung, gasing, rendang with joint nomination mechanism, and also makyong, iftar, calligraphy, and majlis. This is from this from extension mechanism, and we will work hard to accelerate this encryption to UNESCO in the near future.
Okay, this is quite personal, Father John. So we would like also to know that what is actually your long-term vision in making this cultural diplomacy one of Indonesia's main strengths. I put a stress on the Indonesia's main strength in the international world.
As you know, for the first time ever in history, Indonesia finally has a dedicated Ministry of Culture after 79 years of independence, almost 80 years. So under the leadership of the 8th President, General Prabowo Subianto, this milestone signifies a bold move to put cultural preservation, innovation, and promotion at the heart of the governance. And it positions Indonesia to harness cultural wealth as a source of pride, unity, and global influence, making the beginning of an existing new chapter for the nation. So guided by Asta Cita, President Prabowo's visionary pathways, offering a call to foster a balanced and harmonious existence, integrating the values of culture, environment, and sustainable living rooted in diversity, Indonesia stands poised to become a cultural superpower, the capital of culture of the world. So, for Indonesia, culture is not merely understood as art, it is the engine of development consisting of identity, values, tradition, and practices, and often referred to the 8 cultural advancement objects reflecting the nation's diversity and unity rooted in the philosophy of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or the unity in diversity. And the Indonesian Constitution, Article 32, mandated that the state advance Indonesia's national culture among the world's civilization by assuring the freedom of society to preserve and develop cultural values and respect, and preserve local languages as national cultural treasures. So, actually, culture matters, and culture is very important foundation of our development. So, each Indonesian is an ambassador in its culture, and by embracing and sharing our rich cultural heritage, we contribute to the shared efforts for global harmony and collaboration for peace. So, the involvement of all elements of society is critical to ensure our vision to enhance Indonesian cultural diplomacy. So I think this can also answer your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Before we end this conversation, what would you like to say to the Indonesian people, whether here in Indonesia or abroad, about making Indonesia, as you mentioned, as the capital of culture of the world?
Yes, because you are very rich, yeah, and I call it a mega diversity. Indonesia can be the capital of world culture if you have like economic forum in Davos. Maybe Indonesia can be also the center of the world culture. And Indonesia also, if we can go back to our prehistoric time is the house or the home of Homo erectus Pithecanthropus erectus. So I can say that Indonesia is one of the oldest civilization on earth, if not the oldest. Yeah. For example, we now have our exhibition in our National Museum in commemorating 130 years of Pithecanthropus erectus by Eugène de Beauharnais. We exhibit, maybe this is a very rare opportunity, for the first time ever, 9 Pithecanthropus erectus found in Indonesia. In fact, 50 to 60% of Homo erectus in the world found in Java Island in Indonesia. So we are the home of this prehistoric Homo erectus and Pithecanthropus erectus in the world. Thank you
very much, Pak Lijong.
Thank you.
Well, listeners and the viewers of Voice of Indonesia, that was my very interesting conversation with the Indonesian Minister of Culture, Bapak Palijon. As you watch and listen, he said that Indonesia one day would be a capital of culture. It might become true. I'm Dalot Pane. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku harus merangkai kata-kata untuk sampaikan apa yang ku rasa. Selama ini terhalang tirai yang tak kasat mata, hati yang telah terbiasa. Padahal ada sesuatu di antara kita, semakin sulit untuk diabaikan. Jarak yang dulu tak ada, ku akan melewatinya. Tunggulah aku di sana. Maaf bila aku perlahan terpaling, mencari hal yang aku tak tahu pasti. Lupa rasa saat dulu jatuh hati. Lagu ini ku bawa kembali. Genggam tanganku di kakinya, kita menari seiringan dengan lagu seperti dulu. Ingatkah peluk tubuhku kita, sampai kapanpun aku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu. Jangan ragu, dengar kata hati kita merindu. Wujud cinta yang dikuatkan waktu. Maaf bila aku perlahan terbang, mencari hal yang aku tak tahu pasti. Lupa rasa saat dulu jatuh hati. Di lagu ini ku bawa kembali. Genggam tanganku kita, kita menari seiringan lora lagu seperti dulu. Ingatkan tubuhku kita, sampai kapanpun aku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu. Oh.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Finally, after listening to and watch our special interview with Indonesian Minister of Culture Fadlizon, hosted by Daulat Pane, so it seems that we must end our togetherness at the program of RRINet on Indonesia today. Thank you for your listening and watching us. Then we are going to continue our second part of Indonesia today.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINet.
Saudara,